4th of July is coming. Everybody talk about independence and liberty, right? I was mentioning before about words we hear from Mexico, from believers that are basically paying attention to other things, thinking that is the word. So we have heard, and Jerry was teaching the other day about the many believe the apocalypse already happened. That we don't supposed to speak in tongues anymore because they're of no use. But as long as you can speak in tongues, you can have the certainty that Christ is coming back. And that the last day, that terrible, dreadful day, is not here yet. But many moons ago, I share about us being living epistles because we are what the Word of God says we are. We are all living epistles. Our words, our actions, conduct can be seen and read by all men. And they do, right? Wherever you go, you know somebody's watching you. The way you speak, the way you conduct, how you do things. So our lifestyles are the perfect witness of Christ. Anything we'll say or do will affect someone somehow. And the best thing we can do for anyone is give them always the opportunity to know God and His rightly divided word. And God said in His words that we are able ministers, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And the Spirit gives life. So that, my friend, is what we breathe into people when we speak and minister God's word to others. One of the greater benefits of having spiritual life is the liberty we have in Christ. So go to John chapter 8, verse 31. A very, very popular verse. Song that many know by heart. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." As we all know, God's word is all prophecy, whether it's foretelling or forthtelling. And among those, there are a lot of warning. You know, John 10:10 being one of them, warning us about the adversary, the ministry of steal, kill, and destroy. But we're not going to talk about John right now. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2 because there are more warnings. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read a few verses there. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." So I like the last part because they already have their reward. So in light of this, "Who feign words make merchandise of you," I entitled this teaching, "No Merchandise, Not a Merchant." Now from the Greek, empuromai, meaning to trade, to buy, or to sell, or merchandise, came the Latin word emporium. Did you know we use the Latin word emporium in English and in Spanish? It means a place of trade, a commercial center or a store carrying many different kinds of merchandise. Now, what is a merchandise? Merchandise are commodities or goods that are bought and sold in business. So, Peter is here warning the believers not to become a merchandise. Can people be bought or sold as a commodity or goods? They shouldn't, but they are. Now, can Christian believers be bought and sold as commodity or goods? Well, they shouldn't, but that still happens, right? Peter here is warning the believers about those false prophets and teachers, covetous merchants who would make merchandise of the believers with feigned words. A merchant is someone who buys and sells commodities for profit. But what the Word of God says about this? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. We're going to read a few verses in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 21. We're going to read verses from 10 to 14. 14? Deuteronomy, capítulo 21, versículo 10. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head, and pare her nails, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that, thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she be thy wife. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. These verses are talking about a woman enemy, someone who had been taken captive. And since she was part of the booty already, the captor should not get any more gain out of her by selling her out. So God himself was against taking advantage over a gain or profit, even if, as in this case, she were an enemy. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 7. Just a few more chapters ahead. Verse 7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then the thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. Here is referring to brethren, someone within the household of Israel. Here it says that the thief shall die, thus putting evil away from among the household. So making a merchandise of a human being was evil unto God's eyes and still is, especially among the brethren. Now, I cannot explain what happened in Joseph's and his brother's case. They sold him to Midianite merchants, remember that? Mm-hmm. All I can assume is that when Joseph uncovered himself to his brothers, they were so terrified and ashamed that probably wished the earth would swallow them up. But in his mercy and graceful omniscience, God had a salvation plan for Israel. and allowed that to happen. And he also had a plan for our salvation as well. Go to John chapter 2, verse 13. We're going to see what Jesus did with those merchants. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of smelled cord, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and saying to them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. The word merchandise here is the Greek word emporium. It means a market. They had a market in the temple. They had a Walmart. Unfortunately, just like the Jewish people turned the house of God into a place of trade, Christendom has been turned into a mart where false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, and false brethren give false testimonies about a false Christ and make merchandise not only of the Word of God, but also of God's people, which unto God's eyes is completely evil. They will have their rewards. Now, the word false appears 32 times in the Old Testament, mainly referring to false witnesses or false testimonies, among other things. In the New Testament, also appears 32 times. Interesting. 12 times false witnesses, 11 times false prophets, 2 times false Christ, 2 times false brethren, 2 times false accusers, 1 times false teachers, 1 time false apostles, and 1 time false accusations. When Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God, he warned the Jewish people about the false Messiah and the false prophets that will arise at the end of times. Go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled or frightened. That's another translation of the word. See that ye be not frightened. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And if you jump right there in Matthew 24 to verse 23, just a little jump down the lines, verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I don't know the real story, how things are going in Mexico with the believers we know there. But as we hear, some things like that are happening. People is being deceived. People is being taken away from God and His Word, from the rightly divided Word of God. Jesus gave the disciples many warnings about the upcoming times, but He also gave them clues about how to distinguish the good from the bad on his times. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. We're going to read until verse 20. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, or thistle? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruits, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruits is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. So this was a way Jesus told his disciples to distinguish between bad and evil, by their fruits. We can also distinguish them today like that, that way. Now, in the books of Acts, we learn that Barnabas and Saul came face to face with a false prophet. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And we'll read until verse 10. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. This man wanted to know God's word. Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, which also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, child of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? The word pervert also means to distort, to corrupt, to misinterpret. And when people do not know or understand rightly by the God of word, that's what it does. They do. They pervert the word. So, did you know spiritualist or spiritist, whatever you call them, they quote the scriptures as if it were the basis or arguments of their doctrines. Of course, always in favor of the point of view. They handle the word. They twist the word. They pervert the right word of the Lord. But it should be noted that these quotes the people use are only fragments of the scriptures. They can tell you a verse and say, well, the Bible says so and so. But they don't tell you why. They don't know the things we know about get to whom correct. Things about in the verse, in the context, they just try to let people know, I know the Bible, I can quote any single verse. Well, the devils can do that too. And that is what false prophets do with the word of God. But how do they do that? By putting on sheep clothing, just like Jesus told his disciples it would happen then. But nowadays, they transform themselves into apostles of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is not great things if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. See, they will have their rewards. So, there is only one goal why Satan and his ministers transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness, deceiving and convincing many. Paul mentions that in the following verses, Galatians chapter 2. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 2 verse 1. Then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which is in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So although these false brethren were seeking to bring born-again believers under the bondage of the law of Moses, that's what Satan wants, but he also wants them to bring them back unto submission unto him. That's why it's very important to know the truth. Because only the truth shall make us free. And we can only know the truth, the whole truth, and the total truth, if we dwell, abide, and remain in the Word of God as truthful disciples of Christ. Jesus told the people of his times who didn't have Holy Spirit that by their fruit they should know them. But today, we have Holy Spirit within, and God gave us another way to differ the good from the evil. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read until verse 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are good, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The word try can also be translated as discerned. But discern the spirits. And that's one of the manifestations we have within the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So today, with so many denominations within Christendom, with so many religions trying to attract more adherents to their cause, we should be fully persuaded of that. Of what? That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And take a stand. And have no part at all with any of them. We must continue to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. Just as the book of Galatians says, and be not entangled again with any kind of yoke of any kind of doctrine. Let us not be merchandise, not merchants of the word of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, which is agape, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Greek word translated as prisoner Also means captive, as somebody is in bounds or in bonds. But there is an interesting definition of bound that is different from being captive, from being inside, trapped, and is to be placed under legal or moral restraint or obligation. Bound also means determined or resolved. Paul was not necessarily saying that he was confined in a prison because of Christ, but legally and morally obliged to walk worthy of the invitation wherewith he had been called by the Lord, determined and resolved to endeavor to keep the oneness of the Spirit and the uniting principle of peace. Verse 7, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The word captivity here is pretty much the same word that is used in 2 Corinthians 10:5, when it says that we need to cast down imaginations, remember? And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the same word than the one of verse 7. It means to keep within bounds, to be confined. But that is not the same word that is written when Paul is talking about being a different Greek word. So Paul was not kept within bonds of confined because of Christ. He was completely resolved and determined under a legal or moral restraint or obligation to live a lifestyle worthy of the invitation of his calling. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, just a few more verses down. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The real ones, okay? These are not false. These are the good ones. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we, henceforth, we no more children tossed and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lied in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in agape may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the very edifying of itself in agape. So, although Satan and his ministers, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, false brethren, may perform great signs, miracles, and wonders to the point that can deceive the very elect, I pray to God that any of us might fall into their traps and become no merchandise of God's word. Go to Psalms 119. I'm going to read section of this psalm. 119, verses 97 through 105. It's interesting because it basically shows how to abide in the word. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law is my meditation all the day. Thou through my commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for my testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This is Old Testament, but today we have Christ in us, the light of God within. We are the light of the world and should shine. And we do shine every time we speak the rightly divided word of God to others. Not only to light up their path, but to bring deliverance and life unto them. John chapter 8 verse 31 again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me read you a literal translation of this real quick. If ye remain in my words to the point of dwell or abide in it, ye are my truthful learners, and ye shall absolutely know the truth. Truth that liberates, truth that makes you free. So let's continue to enjoy our liberty in Christ. Let's celebrate the 4th of July, but spiritually, the freedom and liberty we have in Christ. And never fall prey of those evil workers that want us to become partakers of their ministries of steal, kill, and destroy. No way. No, not for an hour, as Paul said. Nor becoming merchandise, nor merchants of the word of God. Amen.